Amen. Dr. Greg Popcheck here. Welcome to episode 29 of the Beatitudes, which is focusing on prompt, generous, consistent, and cheerful attention to each other's needs. Now, that's the third practice in the rite of Christian relationship, which is the first rite in the liturgy of domestic church life. If you're just joining us now, I'd really encourage you to start the Beatitudes podcast from the beginning to get some context. It will still make sense if we just jump in now, but just to understand all the eight Beatitudes, it would be helpful to begin at the beginning. But today, looking at this third practice in the liturgy of domestic church life, the rite of Christian relationships, it focuses on how we can challenge each member of our family, not just us, not just our kids, not just our spouse, but all of us, to overcome the tendency to love our comfort zones more than we love each other, which I think is the number one problem in marriage and family life. Every single one of us loves our comfort zones more than we love each other. And, you know, anytime our wife or our kids ask us to do something that's perfectly reasonable or, you know, it's not immoral, it's not destructive or dangerous in any way, maybe it just makes us uncomfortable. And instead of asking, would helping my child do this be good for them, be good for me, be good for us? Would helping my wife do this be good for her, be good for me, be good for our relationship? We have a tendency to just say, am I comfortable doing that? And if I'm not, I just say no based on my comfort. And that shuts me off to intimacy. Because intimacy comes from responding to each other's needs. The more I feel somebody responds to my needs generously, consistently, cheerfully, and attentively, the more intimate I feel with them. Because being able to express needs to a person is the deepest level of intimacy. You know, Matthew Kelly has a book, The Seven Levels of Intimacy, and the seventh level is expressing needs. It's very vulnerable to express needs, to, especially for men, but really for any person to say to someone else, hey, I really need this from you, or hey, I really need this to feel fulfilled in my life, because we know that person could turn us down, and it really hurts. And we as Catholic fathers and as Catholic families in general are commissioned by God to respond to the needs that God has placed on each other's hearts. You know, when we think about needs, and we have a tendency to think about just basic needs, food, shelter, clothing, safety, those aren't needs, though. Those are certainly needs. Those are critical needs. But those aren't the only needs that we need to be concerned with. A need is anything that helps a person flourish. You know, in biology, there's a concept called homeostasis. Homeostasis is the term that biologists use to refer to an organism whose systems are in balance and working in good stead with the environment. So if all of the different parts of me are in balance and I am working well, responding well to my environment, I can be in homeostasis. Homeostasis is actually optimal functioning. It's when I'm doing my best. Like not just trying my best, but actually doing my best. And homeostasis is about optimal functioning. And any need facilitates optimal functioning. So a need is something that would enable me to do better than I am. So would I actually be better, do better, function better if I had the thing? Then that's a need. Now you might say, well, what about wants? What's the difference between needs and wants? I do talk about this in the Beatitudes book. But the short version is that a need is the what, the thing that would help me function at my best. A want isn't a lesser need. A want is just the way I prefer to get the need met. It's the how and the when. You know, I want X, or I need X to do better. I would prefer to get it at this time and in this way. Those are wants. Those can be negotiated. But we should never negotiate something that helps either us or our wife or our kids function at their best. So if some kind of help that they're asking for, or service that they're asking for, or even a privilege or gift that they're asking for, you know, if it's in my power to give it, know, I should give it because that would enable them to function at their best. Now, I might have to negotiate the how and the when by which the what is given, and that's perfectly acceptable. That's how you negotiate the wants. But the need, the what itself, is really not negotiable, you know, for me or for anybody else in my family. And the common good, which is an important principle in Catholic social teaching, the common good of my family life is served when every member of the family is committed to meeting each other's needs promptly, generously, consistently, and cheerfully. This third principle of the rite of Christian relationship is rooted in St. John Paul's teaching of how Christian relationships, healthy, holy relationships, are rooted in what he called mutual self-donation, or sometimes you'll hear it, mutual self-giving. And that's the idea that each person gives really 100% of themselves to work for the good of everybody else in the relationship. It's modeled on the Trinity. You know, St. Bonaventure said that the Trinity was like a three-bucket water wheel that is constantly emptying itself out, but never running dry because each bucket is getting simultaneously filled by all the other buckets as they're emptying themselves out. And that's the model for what healthy Christian relationships should look like. That we give ourselves 100% to each person in the relationship, but we don't run dry because each of those people is equally committed to filling our buckets too. And so this idea of prompt, generous, consistent, and cheerful attention to each other's needs, which is the third practice in the rite of Christian relationships in the Liturgy of Domestic Church Life, is all about making sure that we are learning to be appropriately generous and have those kind of mutually self-donative, mutually self-giving Christian relationships, both in our families and so that we can teach our children what to expect from healthy Christian relationships in their adulthood. You know, this principle, this practice of prompt, generous, consistent, and cheerful attention to each other's needs really touches on three different beatitudes. The first beatitude's about blessed are the dads who are meek. As I talk about in the book, meekness isn't about weakness. It's about listening. It's about listening to God. It's about listening to our wife. It's about listening to our children, not in a way that's passive and just, you know, tell me how high to jump and I'll jump, but really listening to what is the need that's on their heart and how can I serve you in a way that helps you be everything that God created you to be in this life and helps you get to heaven in the next. The second beatitude that this principle touches on is blessed are the dads who are merciful. Because mercy isn't about letting people off the hook. It's about giving to people whatever they need to know what they're worth in God's eyes. So when you talk about the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, you know, like feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, giving drink to the thirsty, or the spiritual works like counseling the doubtful or forgiving the sinner, bearing wrongs patiently. All those things are ordered to treating other people in a manner that reminds them of their worth in God's eyes. And so when we respond promptly, generously, consistently, and cheerfully to our wife and our children's needs, we remind them what they're worth in God's eyes. We remind them that they're worth us stepping outside of our comfort zones for and serving them in ways that cause me to stretch and grow because I love them and because they deserve that. The third beatitude that this touches on is blessed are the dads who are peacemakers. Peacemaking isn't just about keeping the quiet. You know, quiet is different from peace. Quiet is just the absence of conflict. Peace is the establishment of right order. And for family relationships to be rightly ordered, they have to be rooted in this mutual self-giving, this idea that you can expect me to respond to your needs generously, consistently, cheerfully. And I can expect you to respond to my needs in a similar way, but we can't get what we don't model. We've got to model it first, you know, and that's hard. It is. It really is. And that's why it's important to keep bringing this back to God and saying, you know, Lord, I really need your grace to step outside of my pettiness and step outside of my comfort zone and step outside of my scorekeeping, to lead by example, and to serve my wife generously, cheerfully, consistently, and cheerfully, and serve my children generously, consistently, cheerfully. Please help me to do that. You know, and when I do that, then I have the right to ask in return for that similar service and be able to say, you know, I want to keep serving you, and in order to do that well, I need this back from you too. Let's talk about it. And I don't mean that in a tit for tat sort of way or, you know, scorekeeping kind of way. I mean that in a very real way. I'm giving all of myself to you and I'm asking you to help me continue to serve you by meeting my needs this way. And again, we talk more about this all in the book, The Beatitudes, and also in the previous reflections on the eight Beatitudes. But this practice, which is we're going through now the 12 practices in the Liturgy of Domestic Church Life, and this is the third one, it really focuses on a properly ordered family life, which is what peacemaking is all about. St. Augustine said that peace is the tranquility that results from right order. And so when I work to make sure that I and my wife and my children are all following that Trinitarian example of emptying ourselves out so that we can also fill each other's buckets at the same time, that's what a healthy Christian relationship looks like. What the number one obstacle to that is again, I love my comfort zone more than I love you. I love my comfort zone more than I love my wife. I love my comfort zone more than I love my kids. Now, again, this does not mean that if somebody asks me for something, I have to, you know, give it exactly the way they want and when they want it. 9 times out of 10, unless they're asking for something that is immoral or demeaning in some way or dangerous, I should give it. I should figure out a way to make it happen. I might not be able to do that right away. I might need to come up with a plan, you know, to say, well, you know, especially if, for example, if my kid is asking for something that's expensive, well, you know, maybe they don't need that right away. You know, maybe they don't need it at all. But I can say, well, you know what, if that's important to you, let's come up with a way that you could work toward that. Right now, I'm teaching responsibility in that. I'm not just giving them everything. I'm helping them to grow in virtue as well. But I'm meeting their need by saying, if this is really important to you, let's come up with a plan to make it happen. And so this prompt, generous, consistent, and cheerful attention to each other's needs models God's generosity, the generosity that he exhibits to himself within the relationship within the Trinity, and the relationship that he exhibits to us by being super abundantly generous to us in every way, and allows us to have rightly ordered relationships that enable us to be meek, listen appropriately, and lead accordingly, to be merciful in that we treat our wife and our children in a manner to which, or in a manner that reminds them of God, of their worth in God's eyes, and peacemakers that enable us to create rightly ordered marriage and family lives rooted in mutual self-giving as opposed to drawing lines at my comfort zone. You know, the first breakdown the theology of the body really teaches us in the relationship between God, man, and woman is where Adam and Eve started to love their comfort zones more than each other. You know, before the fall, God created man and woman to be perfect helpmates to each other. You know, they learned from each other. They listened to each other and God, and they grew together in ways that God asked them to. You know, God gave man to woman so that she would grow in ways that she'd never grow if there wasn't a man in her life. And God gave woman to man so that he'd grow in ways that he'd never grow if there wasn't a woman in his life. And by listening to each other, they hear the voice of God speaking to them through their partner's needs. And they have children because God gives us the children we need because we'd never grow the way he wants us to grow if we weren't responding to the needs that he's placed on our hearts. Attending to each other's needs in a family promptly, generously, consistently, and cheerfully is how we listen to the voice of God speaking to us through the people he's placed in our lives. God's language is experience. He speaks to us through the things that happen and the people that he's placed in our lives. And when the people in our lives express a need, express something that would help them flourish, I need to hear that as God saying, Greg, I want you to grow in this way. Let's figure out how to help them meet that need. If they decide they don't need it after all, fine. At least you've responded to it in a way that was prompt and generous and consistent and cheerful, and you help them figure it out. So you help them figure out what they do really want and what they really don't need. But you weren't the obstacle. You help them think through it and make the plan. And when they realize that, oh, you know what, that's really going to take a lot. I don't really feel like I need it that badly. Well, then great. Problem solved. But I was still responsive to that need. And by having that open heart and being willing to go beyond where my comfort zone wants to let me go, I'm demonstrating real love cultivating true intimacy and living out the Beatitudes that help me to be meek enough to listen to my children's heart and my wife's heart, to be merciful and treat them in ways that remind them of their worth and dignity in God's eyes, and to be a peacemaker in ways that allow me to create a rightly ordered home. Thanks for tuning in. I invite you to post any questions you have in the Home Builder channel in the Catholic HOM app. If you're not a subscriber, then please do subscribe today. I want to give you the daily support that you need to be the Catholic dad that God's calling you to be and build the dynamic domestic church that God wants all of our families to become. So check out the Catholic HOM app and post your questions in the Home Builder channel, and check out the other resources we have as well. Thanks again for tuning in.